accounts that you're keeping for?
Secret stuff.
I do my duty faithfully. I'm only following orders.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, is who gave you those orders?
Somebody.
Oh, Carolyn is the one.
I have one and only one thing to say. Why would anybody think that I would be responsible for the accounting and the bookkeeping? It's preposterous.
Well, nobody did say that.
Well, I mean, you have all this great surprise.
Well, I didn't know you were doing that.
Who's running the place?
Well, not me.
Not me.
Joyce Anna.
It
all goes back right to Joyce Anna. That's it. All right.
Clearly someone superior to me.
All the authority, but none of the responsibility.
Harry, aren't you almost...
I think it's the other way around.
Harry, almost from New York? Aren't you almost from New York?
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the financial center of the world?
Almost.
Shouldn't you have some financial...
All right. We are still trying to understand... Shut up. We are still trying to understand what it means that by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified. Now, that's any law. Any, even the little stupid laws of your mind.
Or can it?
And so... The question is then, how do we not do that? I spent the whole day yesterday talking about this idea of location of sphere. Where in what environment, in what place are you living? And so let's look at that some more. Let's go to Matthew 6. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, or thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. And so, there's this other scriptures that say some many imply that you are to pray without ceasing, so that you never stop praying. And so therefore you should never, ever, ever leave this place, this what they call a closet here. Well, let's see if we can understand this closet a little bit. Let's go to a bunch of scriptures. First, we're going to go to Joel 2. Amos, Joel. Joel, Amos. Verse 12, chapter 2. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. This is when the mystery takes place. This is the mystery of Christ calling for the bride. And so the closet has a whole lot more to do with than some little room you built in your house and put flowers on it. So let's, now we're going to look at a whole bunch of them. Psalm 18.
What are we talking about this morning?
Talking about where you live. Location of sphere. We're talking about by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified. And if you're not in the closet, all you are capable of doing is deeds of the law. Cause and effect, reward, punishment. Here's what I have to do this. Agendas. Got it?
That clarifies.
All right, Psalm 18. Let's just start in verse 1, and we're going to probably not stay in, but we're going to skip. But anyway, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. Now, when in Hebrew, you've got it. We can say the Lord is my rock, where I go to, or every once in a while if I remember it. But here it's saying, the Lord is my only rock, my only fortress, my only deliverer, my only strength. So there can never be an instance in your conducting of daily affairs in which you lean on anything other than him. That's called faith. There is no call to ever, ever lean on your own arm of understanding. Now that's what sanctification is. Because every time you lean on your own arm of understanding, you're trying to accomplish an end. You have a law that says this, I've got to do this, and this is what I do. Do you understand that? And by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, some of you, I'm sure, are thinking this is impossible. Because how do I deal with it? And you'll come up with 1,000 different things and questions and dealings. But, well, let's continue. I will call on my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, or surrounded me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell surrounded me about. The snares of death prevented me. And in my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Now, the reason I'm reading this is because if we could see. Now, let's go on down. Starting verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine own iniquity. Now, the reason, that's obviously not talking about you and I, right? That's talking about Jesus. And God is talking about his secret pavilion. And it doesn't matter whether it's totally black and totally screwed up, it's his secret pavilion, and it's from there that everything else takes place. That's why we're reading this. I just want you to see that. Okay, now go to Psalm 27. It was only flipped two pages, Ronnie.
You want a gold star?
You got one?
I'll get you one.
Thank you.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, and again in Hebrew it says, and when the wicked one, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So now we have this he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Now, his pavilion is his tabernacle. It's just another word for it. But his secret place that no one can go into except the high priest, that's where our life is. And again, remember, this is in the Holy of Holies. Only once a year could only the high priest go in. If he didn't do this correctly according to the law, all the world was destroyed. You remember that when we studied tabernacles and Yom Kippur? And the day of Yom Kippur is the only time that he ever went in there. Now, here, let's read this one more time.
Is this the ultimate of by the deeds of the law? Is that what you just said? Because everything had to be done so perfect to maintain.
Yeah, it can't be done. There's nothing you can do. And you remember, that included building the temple, finding the ashes of the red heifer, finding the perfect sacrifice, the genetic engineering beyond even our capacity today.
Yeah, you're doing it the best it could be.
Right. Now, if and this is the best of the best. This is the best it could be done. Everything else is a vain shadow of it. Okay? So,
except when Christ did it.
Right. Now, that's what we're going to talk about. In the time of trouble. Now, what is the time of trouble? The time of trouble is the tribulation. The tribulation period is, if you believe all these goofy guys, it's 3.5 years, 42 months. It's the time from the baptism of Christ, when he was buried symbolically and died, he caused the sacrifice to cease, until his actual death and resurrection. That's the time of trouble. In the parable, and looking at this life as a parable, we are always in the time of trouble now, because we're waiting for this mystery to be complete. Not in God, it's already complete, but in us. And in us, that by definition is the time of trouble. We are never not in the time of trouble as long as we are in this veil of tears, as long as we are in the valley of the shadow of death. You got it? What I'm trying to get you to see is that you have to take everything to the ultimate, to the farthest reaches, in order to understand it. Otherwise, you're going to just continue to plow along, and sometimes you'll have a good day, and sometimes you'll have a bad day. Sometimes the Lord will bless you, and sometimes He doesn't bless you. Sometimes you can't figure out what He's doing. Well, the point is, you never can figure out what He's doing. And so the point of all this is, He has taken you and me to His pavilion, and the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. Now, all of the scriptures in the New Testament, all of Revelation, is dependent on you understanding this. If you don't see it from this point of view, if you don't see your life as either in the secret place of His tabernacle, in His pavilion, you will never understand what salvation means, because you're always waiting for something else to happen. And since you're waiting for something else to happen, then you always have this deal. You have time to lean on your own understanding. You don't have to repent. You don't have to leave all of you behind, because, well, that's fine, only that's for my religious stuff, that's for Bible study, but then I go out in the world. No. You can never leave the secret pavilion. You can never leave the secret of His tabernacle, the mercy seat.
And if the closet was overlapping that same reality, you go into your closet,
that's
you're in this.
That's what it means. Your closet is this place. It's the innermost room. It's the Holy of Holies. And it's available to every one of us at all times. In fact, God wants us never to leave there. Let there be nothing in the universe that can draw you out. All that time and space is doing, and has been doing for 2,000 years, is to find, He's waiting for His people never to be drawn out of it.
Seeing the point is that from that closet, you see Him as all and in all. If you step out, you think something's wrong and you got to fix it and you got to do something and you're screwed up or whatever. Your focus turns on you, as opposed to in the closet, it's always Him, regardless of what you feel like.
There's never, and I promise you, there can be, that's why this is how you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see its position, its location of sphere. From now on, you cannot look at life except from that mercy seat. And you if you're looking at life from the mercy seat, you have to see the holiness of His perfection. You have to see the beauty of His holiness. You know, that's why beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. This is the only place the fruit of the Spirit is manifested. This is the only place rest is manifested. This is the only place that joy is. Because otherwise you just go up and down, depending on circumstance, depending on whether, You've been attacked by a light pole or attacked by poison ivy or attacked by whatever.
Rabbi.
What?
Rabbi.
Well, that's why I've said. So I've said for 35 years, if I can no longer put a trip on you, nobody can. That's right. My goal.
Right.
Now let's go to Psalm 30. You got something? What?
No, it's just the scripture where Christ was saying, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Not this Matthew 14.
I always think of, well, someday we'll be with you in heaven.
No.
It's actually...
Right now. Let's look at that. Go to Matthew. Go to John 14.
Just before we start, that one other comment, it's like the high priest, as opposed to Christ, he did everything right except die. I mean, Jesus took it all.
No, he was, but in some, he couldn't even be, you couldn't be a priest in Israel unless you were symbolically dead. If you didn't see your death, then you weren't really a priest. That's how, when they saw his day and were glad.
Christ fulfilled it by going with
the rest of us. All right. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We don't have to go through that again. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
He was saying that you know the way because you've seen it every year.
Right.
When the priest goes into the Holy of Holies, that's, you've seen this.
Right. Every year. And you've seen me in every one of those sacrifices.
And he takes it out of the future because he says, I am the way now. And it's like, oh.
And I think I've heard that they used to refer to the Holy of Holies as Father's house.
Well.
The tabernacle of God is essentially his, that's where Father lived.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, until you're apprehended by this, you're still a little child running around in a candy store. I want this, and then I want that. And you don't understand that the I motive is what will take you off and away from this secret place. It's the first source of all things. There can be no need there. And it's position. And it's pure faith. But it cost you the I. Okay, let's go back. Go to Psalm 31.
Psalms about all this because that's where these were written from. Like, sitting there in the holy place, see it.
Verse 18. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Now I promise you, every one of those lying lips are in you. Where are you, Gary?
I don't know where we are.
Psalm 31, verse 18. Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord God, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in mine haste, I am cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye whose hope is in the Lord. Now, again, hear this. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. That's not talking about, it's your pride.
Yeah.
He's standing, waiting in this cavern, in your cavern of death, waiting for the breaking of your pride, that you finally may be set free and live. And pride is just the I motive.
I'm thinking of a thing that happens in community that reveals the closet in a way. Because in the closet, there's the relationship is the thing. It's everything. My relationship with him, or you know. And in community, so you're talking to somebody, and you're like, "Where'd you go?" You know, they left. That we see that so often, and I guess it reveals it's rude to God to leave.
Well, I mean, it's a. Simply means they're, you know, it's not a business what happens to them, but it probably means they just were set for another seder, another mansion, if you will, another place, another. You know, that's what I've said.
I don't mean leave the group. I mean leave the moment.
To leave the moment.
The closet.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And that becomes very self-evident when it happens. Like right now, Gary.
You got something to say?
You got a problem? You're back in the closet.
The thing about the Gary's strife of tongues that you're feeling from the strife of tongues of your mind. You know, it's just obviously what it's talking about. It's just great.
But can you see, I just want you to think about your stupid, our, all of us, our stupid little things that we think we have to do in order to get something, in order to earn money to put in a bag full of holes. I mean, it's his grace that we've been all screw-ups. If we ever succeeded, then we couldn't have known this.
Why does it say secret all the time? Secret pavilion, secret closets. Why secret?
Because nobody knows about it.
The world doesn't know.
The world can't see it.
It's a mystery to the world.
It's blinded. Your eyes are blinded by self-seeking, and your sin puts a wall between you and God, and it doesn't even exist. It's
the only way you could.
You don't even know that you're missing it.
The only way you can know that you're there is by accepting, it's much more than just accepting your death. It's knowing that you have been walking in death your whole life. Just trying to put makeup on a dead body. This thing about the pavilion and the secret place is that's where we're seated. We're seated with him in the heavenlies, on the mercy seat. That's the place that he's prepared for us. He's gone there and he's prepared the place. And now we're there with him. But we, with the fly's little test, no, I'm not there. I'm over here. I've got to do this. I've got to take care of that. But can you, do you understand the concept of first source of everything? There's no other source. And on that mercy seat is the seat, the origin of the first source of everything in the universe. It's impossible to have a need on the mercy seat. The I motive is impossible on the mercy seat because it just can't. That's why in type, the last thing that you read before entering the mercy seat in the feast days is Ecclesiastes. That's why we spent so much time to make sure that everybody understood the futility of human effort of any kind.
Seeing a need, needs are leaven, and in the mercy seat there's no leaven.
Well, I think you're mixing the metaphors, but that's okay. There's only him. There's not all of the need for all the parables and God. There's only him. There's only life. There's only light. There's only joy. There's only, and this. I don't want to. But that's this. The experience of being there was what happened to me in my conversion experience, and nothing else can ever. I mean, there's nothing that can even. You can't even. There's no words for it. And it's, you know, Father, I'm yours without condition, and really mean it. The things that will happen then is he'll find out whether you do have conditions.
How about this condition?
I present my body a living sacrifice. Well, that's beyond tell. And not fainting. Now, fainting is what people do all the time before they do it. Fainting is when you quit in your mind. You give up in your mind. You start leaning on your own arm of understanding. In your mind, you have all these great dreams of how, and you're doing that because you believe the Lord has forsaken you. So you got to have some deal. If you're at the first source of all things, there can't possibly be. Your mind just goes crazy. It can't stand it. Your mind has no. It has nothing to do. Well, but you don't understand all that because then you got to go out. You know, blah 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 blah. Yes, I understand. I promise you, if you don't leave the mercy seat wherever you go today, don't leave it. Don't be tempted in any way to lean on your own arm of understanding. Don't ever rise above the cloud if you have more than one option. That's, you know, the Lord knows what you need before you ask. So why not just be? It's so complete.
Well, you know what gets me about that, where it says, you know, that scripture in Matthew that we read, that it's not a utilitarian closet.
No.
And that's what he's saying. It's saying, look, I already know what you want before you ask it, so the main thing is just being there, you know, and communing with me all the time.
And that's what your first love is. That's the first love. Now, and that's the first work, but the only... That's why we tried to study Sunday night, but that's why, you know, I see all these people praying in the restaurants, and I walk by them and tell them, you have your reward. But it's so spiritual.
His wife was it that took off? She was a whore.
Hosea?
Hosea's wife, and she doesn't know that her husband is supplying her with her oil and her wine and all. She's out trying to earn and get.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hosea is the one that was told to marry you. a horse so that Israel could see
the
what they were doing.
Whole idea of thinking you need something and trying to get what you think you need as opposed to sitting and being because all your needs are met before you even form the idea of what it is.
It's not about
silly
making God your errand boy or playing with him like a puppet. It's by its presence. All right, take a big guy. Go.
Oh.
Very
well.
Oh.